Blog Talk Radio.
When I wake up, no makeup, half naked, I feel like I'm the shit. Pardon my language, but hang-ups do not define the kid. No, I'm not flawless, I'm scarred up and I'm fine with it. My body are the laundry list of all of life's unkindnesses. But I still sip tea and chant om and live free. Cause hardships and heartbreaks turn to rap epiphanies. And mom told me stay woke cause all gold ain't glistening. Choose your words wisely cause the all-knowing's listening. But no worries, I'm Gucci, my thighs are a little juicy. My dialogue, a little awkward, my idols still move me. My life is a movie, like Raheem and Mookie. I'm just trying to do the right thing, hope that it improves me. My bamboos are costumes to me, you'll be soon a costume to me. This tomorrow I got royal hemoglobin coursing through me. And my strength is now inhuman, I get that straight from my homie. Signed in silver mouth, the grill of yours and truly.
You better shine on them, baby, you a star. You better be exactly who you are, forever. Cause they gon' try and change your heart, don't let up. Cause you're so damn fine.
I was in that mirror like 4 or 5 times a week on my mile of beats, reciting affirmations like holy rites. And I still don't know everything, but I guess confessions from 8x11s and studio sessions seem like it's only right. And trust me, this my therapy, fuck your couch. Finna murk all these Murphy types, funny style, let me shut your mouth. Touch me, I'm slaughtering crews, squads, goons, teams. The queen is coming to rule your region, coming for all of your asses, plus your house. I ain't always have it in me, no tolerance for pretending. I was 14 years old, forcing pills down my throat, so my baby fat diminished. Still got these scars from cutting my wrist when I thought the life was finished. Now they remind me what my lows look like, now I know the sky's the limit. Okay, never claim to be perfect, that's an impossible dream. I'm just saying that I'm working, that's a responsible thing. Spend half my life trying to find my light from outside sources. Why the only voice that mattered came from me?
You better shine on them, baby, you a star. You better be exactly who you are, forever. Cause they gon' try and change your heart, don't let up. Cause you're so damn fine, just the way you are. Better shine on them, baby, you a star.
Aggressive, that's too masculine. And her content a little too obsessive, just relax a bit. She say she got, that's narcissistic, just the facts of it. Nah, I don't really F with female rappers, that's just sacrilege. Glad I learned early not to internalize every income. Daddy told me with every opinion there comes a sphincter. And they would rather see them thoughts and popularize a thinker. Why them lying archetypes is chasing cat, them trying to sphincter. Rap barrels in caramello apparel, mainly vintage. Merrill composer, warrior, so every verse became a vengeance. Went through too much hair to not be fine, but they still feigning ignorance. So now I came to click my just do with remaining interest. Baby, I'm a star without the flash frame of fancy. Came out to doctor up the entire game upon my entry. Kept it 100, messed around and gained another century. And this now I'm aiming to pop off till my mental chamber's empty. I'm unbothered, your standards is irrelevant. I might F around and rock a body, all this for the hell of it. They've been trying to martyr me for ages cause my melanin. So now I'm soaking UV rays with sugar slathered on my abdomen. My dude, I'm magic, my game is got it. My mood is savage, that game is Connie's fun moves. And mountains, my brain's astonishing. Days, the sun is like rain and comets, they blazing. Trails through planets, all hail is kind of amazing. That's right, we'll call it self now. Discovered I was dope and indulge like a skeleton. And you could call me arrogant and that's gonna help never. If you trying to knock me down, your demolition fell, bruh, fell, bruh, fell, bruh, fell.
You better shine on them, baby, you a star. You better be exactly who you are, forever. You better shine on them, baby, you a star. You better be exactly who you are, forever. Cause they gon' try and change your heart, don't let up. Cause you're so damn fine, just the way you are.
I know that life may seem a bit strange at times,
But through all of the pain and confusion, you have to remain divine. Do all that you can do to heal and change inside. Know and understand that even flowers have to endure the rain at times. Beautiful sunflowers, sunflowers, so you haven't been yourself since some time ago. Beautiful sunflowers, sunflowers, so you have to learn to let go and forgive in order for the sunshine to show. I want you to know that things get better with time, but in the meantime, you have to stop seeing yourself through irrelevant eyes. May you shine like the light that has brought you forth from the heavenly skies, and find more of yourself in the rest of these lines. I know people change, I know flowers grow, I know we need the rain, sunflower souls. I know people change, I know flowers grow, I know we need the rain, sunflower souls. I know people change, yeah. I know flowers grow, I know flowers grow, I know people change, yeah. Sometimes we need the rain, sunflower souls. There is a time to love and there's a time to heal. Find a way to free your mind and let time reveal. In the midst of all of this love that you're trying to give, you have to learn to love yourself for real and find the time to live. Beautiful sunflower, sunflower soul. You haven't been yourself since some time ago. Beautiful sunflower, sunflower soul. You have to learn to let go and forgive in order for the sunshine to show. I know people change. I know flowers. Yeah. Sometimes my day's insane. I'm talking major pain. Hope not, I pray in vain. I'm trying to make a change. I know flowers grow. We cannot stay the same. So if you love the flower, you cannot hate the rain. Sometimes my day's insane. I'm talking major pain. Hope not, I pray in vain. I'm trying to make a change. I know people change. I know flowers grow. I know we need the rain. Sunflower souls. I know people change. I know flowers grow. I know we need the rain. Sunflower souls. I know people change. Yeah. I know flowers grow. I know flowers grow. I know people change. Yeah. Sometimes we need the rain. Sunflower souls. Breathe and be still. Breathe and be here. Breathe and be now. Allow your spirit to be receptive. Be receptive. Everything that you want is available to you now. Everything that you need, you already have. There are no voids in the universe. There are no voids within you. Creation is abundant, infinite, ever expanding. Boundless. Though you live in creation, creation also lives in you. You are abundant, infinite, ever expanding, boundless. Remove all thoughts of lack and limitation from your consciousness. There is no such thing as lack. There are no limitations. The only limit is your mind. Let your mind expand. Let your consciousness expand. Inhale deeply. Let your mind expand. Exhale completely. Let your consciousness expand. Success is all around you. success is within you. Wealth is all around you. Wealth is within you. Growth is all around you. Growth is within you. You are an abundant and attractive force. You are an abundant and attractive force. Everything that you want is available to you now. Everything that you need, you already have.
Discussing these reptilians, like, you know, we win. And, you know, like, you know, I responded saying, this is not a game. This is reality. All right? These frequencies that are coming down on the planet is not a game. No. You know, those who are literally sitting on high are working with those who are here also, making sure everything is in regulation of under the laws of frequency and the laws of balance or whatever. They're making sure that certain frequencies are being emitted into the atmosphere because, like we said, we have time travel. All right, we travel through the waves of energy ahead of us, where we see or saw what was going on in what you call the future. Okay? So what we are doing, what we have done is, you know, we're just like, okay, it's time to bring this game to an end. And just to let you know, it is a game. I mean, this thing that they created is literally a game, brothers and sisters. I mean, it's just one big fucking game. All right? All your different positions and job positions, you know, role playing or whatever, you know, this is all part of the game. You know, even at my job, you know, they want us to wear these orange vests, you know, costumes. You know, these are, your police officers are, you know, game players. They wear costumes. Your judges wear costumes. Your doctors wear costumes. All right? You have the FBI agents and your preachers in the pulpit. You know, they all wear costumes. That's what they wear. You know, and it's all a part of the game. It's a role-playing game. Oh, you can be this and you can be that. That's why they say in this sense, well, you can be whatever you want to be. You have some of these earth beings who have, talking about, what's it called, they can be animals. Or you can be whatever gender you want to be. You know, it's a game. And it's like they're having fun playing this game that they couldn't play in the original planet where they were, because the beings were so highly, and they were so highly conscious. Let's just say, I'll put it in a simpler term. They were so highly conscious that, you know, they, like, you know what, you got to get the fuck up out of here. And so many of our brothers and sisters have fallen under this curse or virus program called the game. You know, remember we were talking about the game before? That same game that the brothers and sisters are playing out there, talking about selling dope and rapping and all that. You know, what do rappers do? They put on costumes. You know, they get out there and you put on costumes and you put on a show. It's a game. It's role playing. Alright? There's nothing real about it. So this is what they're doing, you know. You gotta understand that everything that they do is a game, and they want us to be a part of their role playing, you know. So we are bringing an end to this game. Alright? There is a very powerful frequency that's getting ready to come upon the planet that's going to pair up with the Omicron frequency. It's going to pair up with Omicron, and it's going to enhance the Omicron frequency in about 2 or 3 days. 3 days at the max. You know, 3 days, the energy will completely just go crazy. As it is at this present moment, but it's going to be even higher. And there are other frequencies that are going to join in with the Omicron around coming towards the end of this calendar month, going into the new calendar year, all right? Because they know that this game is over. There's no more game playing, all right? Everything that they have put out there is a fucking game. And the original beings have been taken out of their position. You know, even their scientists, their so-called scientists, are all part of the game. It's role-playing, you know. We're going to act like we know what we're doing, and, you know, they get on the show and they on their TV shows and they tell you well, you know, we really don't know this, or we really don't know this, and we're speculating, we're just guessing that this may be this and this may be that. You know, well, you know, we're trying to figure out, we're still trying to figure out this, and it's all part of the game to make, you know, the individuals, the original individuals of this world, think that these beings actually know what they're doing. You know, creating all kind of chemical-based viruses to infiltrate the mainframes of our systems so that we won't operate on a full potential basis. All right? So, yes, and this is why it's important for the brothers and sisters now to get back into physics and science and mathematics and technology, you know, where we belong. Because what we did was real. You know, we did, everything that we did was real. There was nothing that was fake about what we did. You know, when we created those machines that linked into our bodies, and that goal, we could literally go across the ocean surface without touching the water one time. We could sail across the ocean surfaces. Not one time did we touch the water. We literally traveled across the land, and never did our machines touch the ground. We were the only beings that actually touched the ground. The machines didn't touch the ground. You know, this is real. You know, we went into, you know, digging up holes and finding the blood of a planet and say, oh yeah, we got these many barrels of oil, knowing that this is blood. And they created this game to throw us off. So, you know, the game and the role playing, you know, oh yeah, I'm CEO of this company. I don't care what they're doing. It's whatever they're doing. You know, I'm all about making my money. It's role playing. So therefore, the original beings lose compassion, lose focus, lose the rage and fire within them to protect their home, which is their planet. All right? Because they've joined in this role-playing game. And this is what we're doing. We're destroying the game. We're destroying this whole game. So many brothers and sisters have killed each other over this piece of cloth with the faces of their ancestors' slave masters on them. All right? Because that money is nothing but cloth. It's cotton and linen. Woven together. Cloth, but it's all a part of the game, you know, and these beings want us to put on costumes every day and come to their fake businesses to work with their fake source of energy called money, because they want us to pass this energy around, because this is their only source of power, this little piece of cloth. That one-dimensional piece of cloth, and that's all it is one-dimensional. All right? It's not even third-dimensional. It's one-dimensional. The entire system, the entire game that they're playing, it's one-dimensional. There's nothing real about it. All right? So it's something for us to really, you know, think about, brothers and sisters. It's something for us to really focus on, the end of this game. All right? Because the end of this game is going to bring the beginning of life where the brothers and sisters will literally have to look at things in the realm of reality and no longer see things in the in this game world. Because that's all they want us to do, is be in this game world. They want us to be in this, play this game with them. In the educational system, you got the teachers up there. They put on costumes. In the prisons, you have the wardens and you have the guards. What do? They put on costumes. And they're brothers and sisters who, you know, didn't understand that, hey, you know, this is a game. And they took this shit as serious. You know, you got these brothers and sisters out here beating the hell out of each other, beating the fuck out of each other for what? A game. You see all these sisters putting on wigs and fighting each other over all these clothes and all that. They're fighting over costumes. That's all they're fighting over is costumes. None of this is real. It's part of the game. so you destroy the game. Like we say, you know, it's all the same motherfucking virus, man. There's no difference. It's like I was talking about that young brother, you know, what was his name? Young Dolph. You know, I mentioned Young Dolph, and I was mentioning, talking about the game, how, you know, he, you know, play the game or whatever. Yeah, it's no different, brother. It's the same fucking game. It's no difference. It's diabolical, parasitic organism that is designed to infiltrate the psyche, and you're talking about the psyche, you're talking about some very powerful programs that are within us. It's designed to infiltrate the psyche of the original being so that we can be offset or set off the track of reality. When you're dealing with reality, you're dealing with energy. You're not dealing with time. This whole time scan is a game. The calendar is a game. What is a calendar? The calendar is a costume. Alright? The calendar is a costume designed to make you think that there are actually months. Just like, you know, we say the police officers and the judges and the lawyers and all that, they dress up in these costumes. And they get this money, and they pay a lot of money for these costumes so that they can look impressive. You know, why you put on a costume? So you can impress someone. Alright, that's why you put on a costume. So you can look like you have arrived or you have done something beautiful and wonderful. You know, that's why you put on costumes. And the costumes are all a part of the game. And the game is all a part of this virus program. So many brothers and sisters have fallen victim to. Alright? So, you know, I just pass this on to you brothers and sisters. You guys really, really understand what is being said here and where we are coming from, because the game is a dangerous virus that, you know, literally makes brothers and sisters think that they are actually doing something. You know, it's a virus. It's a virus program. It's extremely dangerous, all right? It's extremely, extremely dangerous. And you know, we've got to get out of the mindset of, oh, well, you know, I can't wait for this, and I'm waiting for this, and I'm waiting for this. Let me tell you something. Blue Katina and Red Katina are here, all right? Blue Katina and Red Katina are here at this present moment. Blue Katina and Red Katina is here. I'll post a video of this evidence in the information box. But we're bringing the day to an end. And it literally has to end. It has to come to a complete end. Because, you know, we can't continue to be in the realm of role-playing. Alright? Because that's what they want us. They want us to be in the realm of role-playing, you know. We all playing this role, you know, and we all put on costumes, you know. We all join in, and everybody gets the money, so that we can all pass this money around. Like you said, that's that form, that source of energy. All this money is that source of energy. So what is to think that if we have all these pieces of cloth in our pocket, that's all you have is cloth. So what is to think that we have all this cloth in our pockets? That we're something big and bad, and we're something this, and we're something bad, and I can do this, and, you know, it's part of the game. All right? So, yeah, we got to free our brothers from this prison system. We got to free ourselves from this open prison system. You got brothers and sisters, closed prison system. And then you got this open prison system that they create. So what are we doing? We're raising the prison system, raising the vibrations of brothers and sisters. You continue to look into these energies. You continue to go within you. Continue to build upon this rock, and that rock is that energy within you. Continue to build upon it, and you will see the end of this fucking game, and it's happening fast, and we're bringing this shit in real fucking time. The real fucking time is energy, the original energy that's on the planet, all right? So, yeah, it's time to bring all this stuff to an end, brothers and sisters. retired. We've been through too much as original beings, and we can't continue to go through all this garbage shit. We can't continue to keep enjoying it in this role play. You know, that's all it is role play. It's a game. All right? The frequencies. Now, one thing that's not a game, you know, we talked about the reparations. We talked about how, you know, they give each other reparations or whatever. That's part of their game. I remember, you know, said a while back, when they came here and attacked us and fought against us to get this land that we have, you know, that was real. All right? That was real. All right? All of that was real. They came to fight against us for real. They came to put us down for real. That's why we as original beings are not getting any of their money that they call as far as reparations. And you got to understand, reparations are repair rations. That's all it is. Reparations are repair rations. Rations to bring repair to damage. All right? They don't have enough money because their money is system is done anyway, but they don't have enough money to repair, or they don't have enough rations to give us to repair all the damage that they've done over these 400 calendar years, which would be some 80 or 90 energy cycles. Okay? So their game of rations to repair damage is literally done. All right? It's literally done. So we've gotta, you know, understand, overstand, brothers and sisters, that, you know, this is end game. And when we say end game, we're talking about bringing this thing to a close. Bringing this thing to a complete close. And you know what? No more. No more. And that's why the elders in the Supreme Cosmic Council, that's why the elders were like, nope, we don't want to hear nothing you got to say. You know, the Supreme Cosmic Council told them, nope, we don't want to hear anything you got to say. And I actually intervened in there and I said, yeah, exactly. You know, we're done. We're not playing your games anymore. And this motherfucker was just standing up there. He was just looking so fucking stupid because, you know, all before he thought he could go there and make negotiations and we'll do this and we'll do that, we'll do this and we'll do that, you know, and every time, you know, they would start doing a little bit of what they proposed to do, and then they would just back off. And we watched it so many times. You say, you know what, we're tired of this shit. So, yeah, the game is over, and we're not playing their bullshit ass game anymore. All right, so this is what's going on right now, brothers and sisters. You know, I just want to pass that on to you. The game is over. It's all fucking over, but everything that they're doing, even here in the school system, got our brothers and sisters believing that these grades are real. These grades are not real. To tell me that my child is not good at mathematics, which means that, you know, there's something else that the child is good at. You know, so you can't say, well, we're going to grade your child according to this or that, because your game says that they want, that it wants the original beings to be mentally infiltrated with this, with y'all educational program. That's what the game says. All right? And what we're saying is that, no, you know, this thing is absolutely, completely over. All right? That's what we're saying. It's over. It's done. All right? And we're not looking at any of this anymore. We're not dealing with it anymore. You know? So, game's over. Now reality's going to set in. We got to bring reality. In the meantime, yeah, brothers and sisters, you know, if you want to continue your role playing, just continue the role playing. Use this fake-ass money, what do we say, to buy real resources, to create real intelligence, to create real technology. That's what it's all about. All right? Coming into the realm of reality, where you're putting things together and you seeing how, oh, I can take this, just like I showed you guys the Liz Fan thing. You know, I got that off someone else on YouTube, though. But I showed you guys the Liz Fan battery thing. How you can take real resources and create real energy. You take this fake-ass money that they want to dish out and create and build and create real technology. You know what I'm saying? So, something for you all to think about. All right? Game is over. The game is literally over. And there's no more hope for it. And we're never bringing it back. We're never allowing it to come back ever again. You know, we're not allowing this game to come back ever again. You know, we're bringing this whole show to a fucking close. All right, brothers and sisters, I pass this on to you. Hope you understand everything that's been said. And you know the deal. All power to the motorcycle, celestial, intelligence, and chaos, and forever and ever. Much power to you all.
Movies on your six, Lima. They need customized car insurance from Liberty Mutual, so they only pay for what they need.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
I have a confession to make. I hear voices. Now, I'm not talking about the kind like auditory hallucinations that medicine and psychologists would say are part of a pathological process. I'm talking about voices like you're hearing right now. You hear my voice now, right? The voices I hear sometimes are affirming. Sometimes they're not quite so affirming. Sometimes they tell us about beliefs, attitudes, values, and prescribed standards. What I'd like to do now is share a couple of stories about voices I've heard in the past. When I was 8 years old, my mother took me to a local fair where they were having pony rides for children. I used to watch Roy Rogers and the Lone Ranger on television, and they were heroes of the time. That's before some of your time. And I thought it was going to be really cool to ride on a pony like those cowboys rode on their horses. So my mother took me to the fair. I got eagerly in line, and she went and waited with the other parents who were waiting for their children. And as the line got shorter and shorter and I got closer to the pony, still my excitement grew and grew and grew. I heard something behind me. I turned around and I saw three boys. I didn't know them. I had never met them before. But they were laughing, and they were laughing at me. They pointed to me and they said, "What do you think you're doing? Don't you know girls don't ride ponies?" Really? I heard what they said, and in that split second, lots of things start going through my head. They said girls don't ride ponies. Had I ever seen a girl ride a pony? Well, Dale Evans, Roy Rogers' wife, she rode a horse, and she was like a woman, so she was a big girl, and the horse was like a big pony, so it must be okay, but she didn't look like me. Maybe what they were saying was not that girls don't ride ponies, but that girls who look like me don't ride ponies. But my mother had brought me there, and my loving parents always told me I could do whatever I wanted to do. But maybe they missed it on this point. In that split second, I was drowning in the midst of doubting voices. And I made a decision. I stepped out of line to forego the excitement and joy that I anticipated of riding the pony. heartbroken. Second story. Same time, 8 years old, I used to bask in wearing my favorite color, red. In my home community, we would say, I love me some red. I love the energy. I love the vibrancy. I love the brightness. I love the fire of red. At that time, I was going to a Catholic elementary school. We didn't have to wear uniforms, but I had my own personal uniform. It was a gray pleated skirt, a white shirt with a collar, and the next garment, a vest, you can probably guess what color that was, right? It was red. It was bright red. It was bright like you could see it from a mile away. Nothing muted for me. One day, after school, I had gone to my grandparents' home. I had my uniform on, my personal uniform, enjoying the red, and really, I did think I was cute. You know, that's important, right? And so I was there. My grandmother pulled me to the side, and she said, baby, you shouldn't be wearing that red. People shouldn't wear red. Red is too bright a color for black people to wear. I was demoralized. I was being told that wearing my favorite color, something that brought so much joy to my soul, there was something wrong with it. I was being told that there was something wrong with me. And so here again, an 8-year-old little girl being told something wrong, hearing some external critical voice.
Sorry, you guys.
Riley.
Hi.
Vest, you can probably guess what color that was, right? It was red. It was bright red. It was bright like you could see it from a mile away. Nothing muted for me. One day, after school, I had gone to my grandparents' home. I had my uniform on, my personal uniform, enjoying the red, and really, I did think I was cute. You know, that's important, right? And so I was there. My grandmother pulled me to the side, and she said, baby, you shouldn't be wearing that red. Black people shouldn't wear red. Red is too bright a color for black people to wear. I was demoralized. I was being told that wearing my favorite color, something that brought so much joy to my soul, there was something wrong with it. I was being told that there was something wrong with me. And so here again, an 8-year-old little girl being told something wrong, hearing some external critical voice telling her that there was something bad. But this time, that message wasn't coming from strangers. It was coming from a woman who I loved and who I knew loved me. So what do you think I did? You're right. I took that red vest off immediately and decided that red could no longer be my favorite color. I had to choose a new favorite color. So I chose, can anybody guess what color I chose? I chose blue. Blue became my color, and I became blue. And it's interesting now as I think about it as an adult clinical psychologist, the power of that I replaced my color red, that color of passion, the color that I was passionate about, I replaced it with a color that is often associated with sad. Very powerful. And at that time, I was too young to understand the woundedness that my grandmother carried because of some external critical voices that told her what she couldn't wear because she was black. Injected oppressive voices that spoke to her, that gave her a message that she then transmitted to me. Those injected oppressive voices drowned out affirming inner voices. So I know some of you are sitting in the audience and you're saying, well, had that been me, I would have gotten on that pony and I would still be wearing red. And that probably is the case. It may very well be the fact that you would have continued to wear red. But don't judge that little 8-year-old girl who was me. Don't hate on her. You may wear red, but I bet there's something in your life that was red for you, something that you didn't do, something that you haven't done because some external critical voice, what I'm saying are voices of oppression, said to you, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this, you can't be this, you don't deserve this because fill in the blank. Your race, your culture, your age, your gender, your physical ability. We all are exposed to these potential oppressive voices that are injected into us, not necessarily internalized. We are exposed to a cacophony of demeaning, demoralizing messages that tell us who we can't be, that interfere with us going and growing into our greatness, into our magnificence. We all encounter those. And so what do we do with that? How do we address that? Steve Jobs said, do not let the loud opinions of others drown out your inner voice. Mm. And author Inyala Van Zandt says, if the voices we hear leave any room for hate, doubt, shame, then it's time to make a change. Our affirming inner voices say none of that. They are non-judgmental. They are loving. They are kind. They help us be in touch with that core part of ourselves that is positive and good. They connect us to our power. They connect us to our humanity so that we can be human. And they connect us to our humanity so that we can be connected to others. That's the power of the affirming inner voice. But in a world that is full of noise and full of distractions, inner voice. And so what can we do to counteract those anti-self messages of the injected oppressive voices that really keep us from moving forward into our greatness, that interfere with us engaging in our own self-care? What must we do? Well, I'm on a mission to help us figure out how we can defuel those voices, get rid of them, eradicate them. There's no place for them in our lives. So what must we do? The answer that I bring to you is really a simple answer. It's a message that has come throughout the millennia and recognized and presented by many spiritual, cultural, and wisdom traditions. That answer is to get quiet and be still. Be still so that you can discern the power of your affirming inner voice in the midst of the cacophony of those negative messages that we get. Sometimes called gut feelings, intuition, heart, my favorite is first mind. The affirming inner voice really speaks to your soul and speaks to your spiritness. It tells you what you can do. It provides inspiration and guidance. It's a lovely thing if you think about it. It helps you to know, helps you to protect yourself so that you can move into your powerful destiny. But you have to get quiet and you have to be still in order to discern it. So how might you do this? There are lots of different ways, and we each have to find our own way toward discerning our inner voice. For some of us, it may be prayer. For others, it's meditation, mindfulness, connecting with the thing that brings you joy, the creativity, fun. I think most of us in here are adults, so you got to play. If you're not playing, you need to play at least 3-4 times a day. And, you know, modern science is catching up to the knowledge of ancient wisdom on this quiet and stillness piece. In fact, research is showing if you engage in a practice of stillness, 3 to 5 minutes daily of stillness and quiet, you can more deeply connect to your inner voice, that affirming inner voice, and increase your levels of happiness. 2 for the price of 1. How's that? It's a great value. So I encourage you, I implore you to be quiet so you can get to that space, so that you can hear that affirming inner voice. Very quickly now, I want to share just one other story before I go. I love this picture. This is the picture of my great-grandmother, Mrs. Fanny Mae Pritchett, who I call Mama Fanny because, as my mother says, I have good home training, and I would never dare call my elder by their first name. So this is Mama Fanny. Mama Fanny was the granddaughter of captive Africans. She's a powerful woman, and I love her. This picture is probably from the 1940s, actually. My grandmother was a bad A woman, protector of family and community, advocate for social justice. She lived in Fairfield, Alabama, and she would often be seen walking through the streets carrying a basket on her head like her African ancestors, full of the laundry that she had cleaned for the rich residents of the town. Mama Fanny was also the big station master, that's what they called it, for policy in Fairfield, Alabama. Policy, for those of you who don't know, is precursor of the lottery. And some of you know about playing the numbers, right? So my grandmother was the head of that. She worked for Mr. Herman, who was a white man. So she was his employee, and then other people were under her. One day the police decided to raid her operation. And as the numbers came in, people were taken. The police took them aside to get them ready to go to jail. Mr. Herman was going to pay to bail them out, and the police told him to let it be because Fanny had money, let her pay for it. So Mr. Herman left great-grandmother to use her savings to bail people out of jail. But that was okay because that was a part of her value system, that she took care of family and community, and all these people were her family and community. A little bit later on, Mr. Herman came and said, "Fanny, I want you to start working for me again." Mama Fanny said, "Nah, Mr. Herman, I can't do that." He said, "Oh, you're going to do that? Who do you think you are, and fill in the blank woman, to say no to me?" My great-grandmother this time said no again. Through words and actions, more forcefully, so he knew that she was not playing. He ran out of that house, ran down the street, and never came back to ask, harass, or threaten again. Now, my great-grandmother could listen to her inner voice that told her that she did not have to tolerate being disrespected because of who she was, that she could resist the potentially injected oppressive voices of the Mr. Hermans of that time and era that thought their privilege allowed them to have power over her. If she could resist that, who am I to deny, resist, or avoid listening to my affirming inner voice? And so I stand before you today, more than 5 decades after that little 8-year-old girl gave up her precious color red and stepped out of line to ride that pony. I come to you more than 5 decades later, thinking about how the wisdom of Fannie Mae Pritchett connected to the affirming inner voice of that little girl, now grown up as me, helping me to connect to my spirit and my ancestors and the message they gave me so that I could come back into wholeness in the spirit of Sankofa, to wholeness so that I could remember my value, my worth, and to resist those voices that say to me, that say to many of us, who I can't be, what I can't do, what I don't deserve because of fill in the blank. I've been able, because of the wisdom, because of the energy of my Mama Fanny and others in my life, to connect with that inner wisdom, inner voice, so that I can resist those negative voices. And so I stand before you today, unabashedly, unashamedly, and unapologetically, wearing the red that I have reclaimed, that I have embraced, that I loved and still love. This is my joy and my wish. It is a metaphor for taking back and remembering. And so my wish for you is that you can be still and be quiet to discern that affirming inner voice for you, so that you can wear whatever was red for you. That is my wish. And so with that, I wish you all the best. Maybe I'll see you when I go to the stable. We can all ride our red as we get on those big ponies, the horses. Thank you.
Let me tell you a story.
any kind of connection of what we call a continent. This is all the land that we come back off of. How you get back in tune with yourself, finding your mother, finding the father, and of course connecting to the child. So this is where the Trinity comes out of. We hit different sounds of it. And when we hit that sound, we actually have different vibrations that come from it. So it's our frequency. How do we enhance ourselves? By going into a dimension. This dimension, we can all interlock and make something come out of it. You know, from nothing to something. Ground zero. So look at those who, not knowing themselves, are heroes to themselves. They just got to know how to go through conflict so that they're inflicted by certain things and then change that. It's a dis-ease, of course. It's a dis-ease to change your left and your right hand. But if you notice, we're using our left and our right hand. So now that shows you that all of us can use both sides of our body, just like we use both sides of the hemisphere of the brain. This is what we come back in tune with yourself. So the more you're in tune with yourself, the more you see how you can heal other people. You got to heal yourself first. So this is where we started. Start from the root. It's like the tree. You're hugging it. So we thank a mama, connect to the earth, go by what they call material. You liquidize what you thought in reflection. So you come back to seeing yourself bend, change up the dynamics of that. Become the fire physical. Move your fire because you're going to sweat. People want to dance. Vibration move their hips. Then they feel their heart connect to their head. So the heat will be going in, you know. And so when you get your air, air is your balance. So you have to breathe when you play this. Teach you discipline. Teach you martial arts. Teach you how to be more focused on self when you realize yourself is what connects to everything else. And then once you see self, self is everything. You know what I mean? Like the tree that connects to this right here, to the drum itself, to the walls. We think walls, but that's obstacles. Obstacles can also be an illusion. So when we're putting things in front of us, it's just like being a cube. We might be caught into a square, but we gotta see it. It can have a vortex of an X. So we still gotta remember, find our center. How do you center yourself? Bring yourself back up. Rise it up like the pyramid. Some might see you as three, but you appear to be four. And then at the same time, you have that five. The five of you explaining yourself as you spread your arms out and your extension. So when you see the center of yourself, it's the pyramid. It's that pyramid. So we got to get into our midsection. Open it back up, become more into what we think the world is, but worldly, as in the swirl, because you're connected by the curve, the line. Basically, the curve of your fingers be the same way. It's not a flat line. You know what I mean? It actually has curves to it. It's a tube. We look at a TV tube, so why do we look at that? You know what I mean? Why do we look at a tube? Only to see entertainment of ourselves. But if we don't see ourselves, who are we being entertained by?
Yeah.
If I'm listening to music, is it music? Does it make you sick? It make you sick? If you can't hear the right music, your harmony, it's the hymn. If I was a preacher, I'd be doing the same thing. Ceremony. You do the harmony, you do the hymn. So it's giving you the hymn. So is it an actual vibration that we all can connect and still build ourselves that I won't need you anymore and I can actually do it for myself? Thank you. Now that I have the tool versus the toy versus the weapon. You know what I'm saying? I can get a gun, but what about the drum? Don't this come from the heart? The heartbeat. I think the word war, I see wrong. So we gotta see the raw of ourselves. This is like the raw essence of it anyway.
Yeah.
If it's a Capricorn, here's a goat being put on as a sacrifice. For what though? To sacrifice ourselves back into a family again.
Yeah.
That's why we sit in a circle. That's why we sit in a cipher. So we cipher things out versus ciphering in. You can get an income, but what about your outcome? How much outcome will you actually get if you're just putting too much outcome of income about a low come? You know what I'm saying? Low semen.
Yeah.
Low vibration. So it's ejaculating on people. Why? We don't need to do that. We don't need to rape none of y'all. We don't need to be like that. We're mental to a physical. And now, since we're that, let's become spiritual. So we all see our plane and rising. So it becomes solicited. That's the soul.
I like the income, but there's no outcome. That's crazy.
Because
there's a lot of income, but then the outcome doesn't go anywhere because it's like you end up spending money.
Where you go? Yeah, it's gonna go.
Yeah.
Deplete itself. Just like a top heavy. All over. September 4th. Yeah, October 5. It's gonna fall in October, might as well rise. It's gonna fall in September, might as well rise in October, right?
I'll take another one.
Say your name. Oh, wait a minute. Hello. appreciate y'all. You know what I'm saying? When it comes down to it, though, of course, you still got to give homage back to our ancestors. That's the whole real reason why we hit the drums in the first place. So when it comes back in tune with ourselves...
Oh, this is a brother right here. Respect, brother.
Yeah. 757, you know what I'm saying? 757, coming into the consciousness level, you know what I mean? So when it comes down in tune with it, when it comes in tune with it, we're in tune with the life of what we got to bring. Our old generation, our new generation, and in tune with it, what we have this generation. But why do we feed? Why do we feed ourselves? Food is a rejection. How do we reject it? Got it now, accept our level, bring it back up. This is why we hit the drum. And of course, let me introduce my people, you know what I'm saying? We definitely got different combinations of people when we call the Eternal Roots Band. So when we come with intercourse of thought, we come with intelligence, and that's how we're bringing this higher level up. Our presence.
Yeah, my name is Youssef. I've been with Eternal Roots for about a good 2 years now. I'm going on 2 years, and it's really transformation for me. And I feel like I transformed with Eternal and the group, and I was the loud one. I never wanted to listen. Always trying to outbeat people and stuff, but, you know, with time, when you're with the group, you know, you play them tones. When you say tone, you know, people could tone you out as well. So your group could tone you out, you know, if they love you enough, they're going to come and tell you, yo, you got to relax a bit, you know, and then you end up getting toned out, you know, and once you get toned out, that's it, you know, how to go into the bass, tone, slap, because you ain't trying to just talk too loud, you know, so, yeah, my beginning was kind of like just speaking louder, trying to, like, I tried to hit every drum that's out there, but, you could only play so much, like, with yourself, like, playing all by yourself, it's like you end up getting sick of your own self.
Yeah.
So the group is what makes the whole beat sound good. And yeah.
Endless
compliments, like just
compliments.
Yeah, complimenting each other back and forth, holding the bass with each other. So, you know, it's kind of like a path. You know, you could take it as a hobby or you could take it as a path. And you take it as a path, you end up knowing how to, you know.
Definitely healing.
Yeah, it was really healing. And the whole concept of the mom, father, child, you know, if you just remember those, like in the middle, that's where we all come from. The tone is your father toning you out always. You messing up, he's going to come and tone you out. And the child is the one that always wants to talk, so that's going to be the slap or, you know, fast-paced talking. So, yeah.
Always going
all past
the
boundaries. There's people that kind of like sit with us and they swear like, you know, I never played, and they just hold that concept down and they hold a whole beat, a whole tone, a whole slap, everything's just like, wow. Yeah, like once they understand that mom, father, child, that's it. That's drumming pretty much, and you know, it's them three sounds. Yeah, so that too, it's like when I ended up listening, I started learning. You know what I'm saying?
Just a whole heap of growth, you know what I mean, just to overstand the balance of the journey, you know what I mean. Make you see a lot of things in different aspects of life too, you know what I mean. Just by touching the drum and seeing the thing that is done, you know what I mean, with the physical eyes, you know what I mean. Just playing it, people walk over like, yo, they couldn't avoid the sound. It's like the rat of the cheese, the smell of the cheese carrying it, the sound of the drum, the warriors. Shows up, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's a heartbeat thing. It's a heartbeat thing, you know what I mean? The guys that died to touch the drum, so, you know what I mean? It's spread the energy that vibrates through the earth, you know what I mean? From your place, so, it's a heartbeat. It's a heartbeat, so. Turn on Rose Band, Malachi, I'm there with them, I know what I hear now. All the more to come, you know? You get to the top, so that's it.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right, y'all. All right, you guys. All right. Thank you guys for tuning.
Now that's Eternal.
That's Eternal, y'all. He playing the drums. That's it. This is alive. We're gonna be listening. I hope y'all can hear. Respect. A little louder. We listening to you. All right, y'all. Welcome. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio. So I thought it was great, you know, to get Eternal to drum right before we come in. You know, I played from his live root band, his Eternal root band group. That was a drum session, a recorded drum session. But the last piece that you heard was Eternal actually going live. Cold on the drums, you guys. So if you guys want to know more in depth, on the drum, go back in our archives and listen to a broadcast that we actually just did recently. Type in Enhancing Awareness Radio and then type in drums. And guys, Eternal, we did a whole, I think, almost 3-hour broadcast on breaking down the drum, the origins of the drum, why is the drum so important, the whole nine, guys. A great show that we did on the drum. So thank you guys today. I hope you guys enjoyed that intro as far as the Sankofa. If you guys hadn't seen the movie, I definitely want to encourage you to go watch the movie. It is available on Netflix now, you guys. So you guys can check it out on Netflix. I think it's it's easy to find on Netflix. You can also buy it, you know, on DVD or whatnot or whatever, but go watch the movie Sankofa and go decode it for yourself, okay? So today we're going to go ahead and give you our understanding on what Sankofa is, pretty much letting Eternal just kind of break it down because it's our history and our root. Now, in short, I want to say Sankofa teaches, here's something that, this is actually from the actual movie, okay? So this is a quote from the actual movie when I was skimming through it this morning. Sankofa teaches us that we must go back to our roots in order to move forward. That is, we should reach back and gather the best of what our past has taught us so that we can achieve our full potential to go forward. I was looking for the best way to describe that in eternal. That, I feel, is the best way to kind of open it up. So what is Sankofa? What does Sankofa mean, eternal? What is that? How are you? And respect.
Greetings. How you feeling, bro?
Greetings. I feel determined again today, brother. I think determined is one of my things. I'm just always driven to get it done. You know what I mean?
It's purpose. You know, determined is definitely a attribute and an energy. As a collective, I feel that's also another, like, I would say that too. I feel determined too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we might as well as look at how what Sankofa does for us is to look at Ma'afa. A lot of people don't know what the word Ma'afa represents. It actually represents the time of what we look at maybe genocide in other people's lives, where someone was taken out of your livelihood and you had to get over it. Yeah, at the same time, in that same tone, how do you get over these things? And this is where Sankofa comes from. How do you learn to go into your past, look into the origin behind what we look at, not seeing it as just true, yet as the truth? And to be a truth seeker, we end up seeking past into our present. And the lightly measure that comes from it is how you treasure it. You know, some of us treasure too much, that where it's like a precious type thing. And so this is why Sankofa happens to show you a different analysis of oneself, your family, the dignity that you have, whether it's self-hatred or self-mastery. You know, you're going to find out the outcome of Ma'at. Ma'at represents balance. So there's a lot of what the story end up showing you, yet you'll see a bird significantly touching its back, and touching the back of oneself is basically like to go into your past, as one would say, and learn from your mistakes, which aren't really mistakes at all. They're purposes to what most people call judgment. They'll say that they can judge you, or feel like they can judge you. However, they can't judge you. They're studying, and even then, they can't just study outside. They got to study inside. So seeing what's going on is what we call the initiation. How do you have an initiation to your balance? So some of us will say, oh, I don't ever get into trouble. And then next thing you know, that being is right in front of you, and you see him getting into trouble. And, of course, this being never thought of himself getting in trouble until now. So now what happens is present shows itself just as much as past does. And so for us to identify, was it starter of the originator who said, oh, I never blah, blah, blah. And now this comes into the present, being that that was the past of what you saw, right? And because you saw it now happening again, this time it's different, where you see the being getting into trouble. You say, oh, you say you never got into trouble. So now that's a past in the present. And now it's to look back in the past, right, and to be better than what you are in the present, so you have at least two steps forward instead of one step looking, you know, back. It gives you two steps forward, as in to say you know now in the present not to do that in the future aspect. So this is what gives us omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. And this is also just like how the drum does. If you're a being that, you know, don't have any kind of cultural connection to yourself, you say, okay, well, let me get an instrument. The drum is a great harmony, not only for your root chakra, yet for the alignment of opening up colors to your vibration that end up being like a black and white form. And the left and the right, as what was it explained into the Each One Teach One, I was explaining to people how we use our left and our right hand. And, you know, what religion does is kind of stop us from learning our left and right hand, if they use the left or use the right, for different purposes. So now it's like I got to help us get our bodies back together, basically. I'm not saying I got to do it. Everybody can have a purpose of what their life is. I just feel like one of mine is the purpose of helping show you have a left and a right hand. And you can use both of them, and both are, could be be as equal as each other. And that if you feel that, just like how your mother and your father, you know how, just like you were saying, that your mother might not be good or your father might not be good. Well, look at all of us who could say the same thing. And then look in that same aspect to say, if you're saying that, what is good about them? And then pull that essence out. Now, if you can't, it's because the concentration is on yourself. And that's why you don't want to pull those, you know, great things about, you know, what you saw was bad. Usually when something done to you is bad, the automatic thing you're going to think of is what bad happened to you. So just in that same aspect, you have to go deeper than what you just saw on the surface value. Usually when you see fights happen, you'll see that there was a black and white thing or red and blue or, you know, just basically some kind of differences. Man like this woman and, you know, that man ended up getting a woman or something in that aspect. So now it's always this kind of envy thing or jealousy thing or Cain and Abel thing when we don't see self. And that's why it's important to learn Trinity. Why it's important to learn the Ankh. Why it's important to learn there's three sides to the story, not just two sides. Or it might be even more than three. So don't just look at it from the way you saw it. Look at it from how you hear it, taste it, touch it, feel it. You know, your senses apply to you. Like Ayurveda, the senses apply to you just as much as when you hit the drum. You're now going to hit the drum. You're going to feel the drum. You're going to see people dancing, the reaction from the drum. And then, of course, that's the good side of it. Now, I didn't explain the bad. The bad side is you don't know how you're hitting the drum. You don't know what kind of sounds you're making. You don't know if you're connected at all to the drum. So it'll get to a point where first you're going to doubt yourself, like anything. After you get past the doubt, though, you start to feel, you know, more confident. As with anything, you know, as a child, when you got up off the ground, it was because first you was on the ground. You had to build your confidence. So now as you stand up, you feel a little bit wobbly. However, you don't want to fall down. So now is the idea you might just stand up and not walk yet. So you still have doubt in your brain. And the idea is to get past your doubts. You know what I mean? Like if you're a singer, you got to get on the mic. And if you haven't got on the mic yet, you got to start at least probing yourself to think that you're on this mic and you're performing and you got all these people in front of you. You got to put your imagination ahead of you so that you can see it in front of you. That way, just like Sankofa, it brings you into the fruition of who you are and knowing that everything is a part of you. And so just like Snow White, who's in the forest and she's like running around, she's frightened. Why stay frightened in the forest when there's a difference between the woods and the forest? If there's a difference between the woods and the forest, you'll know that your navigation, you know, you might run in there and get lost. However, if you remember everything you did from when you ran in there, like there might be a tree on the left that had a broken branch, might be some mud over here, might be, you know, you start to actually don't look at everywhere you go, you keep getting lost at. Start to use your imagination before yourself. And then that way, just like Nightcrawler, he'll start to see where he's projecting himself before he gets there. And not to say that he's looking at it all in a negative, because you can easily put yourself in a negative pothole, you know, or a cell, jail cell. Oh, I'm just going to go to jail. Why project that? Project the most optimistic thing that you could. Just like in the movie Sankofa, if you look at it, the sister sees a brother not dressed like her. So her automatic reaction was negative. Now, if you could think positive about something, you might even get the highest, like what I gave a text saying, that God didn't come here to confuse us. Why would God come here to confuse us? That would be crazy, right? Why would God come to confuse people? If anything, it would be people lesser than God that's coming to confuse people. Because if anything, we already know about God. You ain't got to tell me about God. I already know about him. You ain't got to tell me nothing about him or her. It's just the idea. Once those examples come out, you'd be like, oh, see, that was it right there. That's it right. We're going to give examples. That's why we know examples all the time. It's an X and an amp and L. So whenever we're coming out from the teacher, provider, facilitator level, you see how you're mastering yourself with an amp energy. So examples, anytime the X is on like on a map, there you are. When the X is created, it's that cross, it's that crossroad, it's that path. This is why the cross and the Ankh and the Ashanti Crux got is like confusing to some people. So where they like, okay, let me just put an X and put a P in it. And now it looks like a sword sticking into the X. And now I make that the treasure instead of the Ankh. When you treasure your mother, you've always treasured your mother. Everybody treasured their mother. That's where you came from, the finest treasures of the world. So now our gold, our silver, our platinum, all that from your mother, you done deteriorated. So now Sankofa is about you learning not just be Jack going up the golden beanstalk to grab the golden eggs. Learn the golden truths before you grab these golden eggs. And matter of fact, learn from the golden hen that created these golden eggs. You know what I mean? The origin. So is what Sankofa really does represent in a lot of our stories. We've seen Mother Goose, and we just didn't know who Mother Goose was in the story. You know, we have Sister Nancy or Sister Nanny, who is doing all the work and being the nurse and being the nun. And it's all about the noun, the person, place, or thing. But this thing is the essence. So to change it was how to know truth. Truth is Sankofa. Truth is your past is what's identifying you in the present. And the more you can identify that, the less you have to actually attract yourself to the distraction that was in your past. You can now be attracted to Ma'at, which we call Ma'at. Ma'at is just like mathematics. You add and you times yourself. You don't have to divide or even subtract yourself. Now, when that was created, that was to create an illusion in yourself. So now that when we see it, we become dividers and, you know, we come in with dividends. We want to separate things. We never had to separate. The world never was separated. It was until we start coming up with rules and regulations that now there's some kind of membership on every body part, and now one body part is more favored than the other. If there was really only one God, our feet would be the only thing working. Everything else would be like, it's shut down. You have to get the other body parts to work from, I guess, other gods that you don't know nothing of. You know what I'm saying? So put this all in one book and say, this is the best book. Everybody got to have it. And it's been here for years, and no one changed it. And we're not going to change it in the future. Something don't add up. Something's not right. Something ain't at something. We know things always change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even the word change, you hear something, your imagination is before you when you hear it. So now how do you use the spell or book of spells without calling it grimoire grammar or glamour to your grimoire? You know, how much are we putting destruction on our death if we don't see the life in it? You know, most people say they want diets. Why not a live it? I don't get that. You want to die in it? You want to dye your hair? When they go to bed, most people say they go to bed because they, tired, right? Tired. I can see dirt in that word, right? I can see tire with a T-I-R-E in that word without the D. There's so much of when we're saying these words, is it a spell? That's why Sankofa is really important. How do you use your shink? How do you use your shin? How do you use your sink? How do you use that from Sankofa? Sankofa. Sankofa. Like coffee? How is your melanin so of the F-A, the energy, with raw energy? How does that energy of raw energy being an A energy? How does that alpha energy, like an F, like flesh energy, how did this even the word in our mind, San, like what the word is, Nas or San, Santa, like how is that all a familiarization? Like we using phonetics in our words to say, triphonic, bionic, biphonic, and then uniphonic words that's capitalizing in our imagination. So it's a point of even the cap. Is it a Capricorn energy? Is it the harmony of the horns? Or is it just you're too horny or you're not horny enough? This intellectual to sexual has been broken to a point where now we do see only one side or two side of things. And now we do have to infinitely use our third energy, not to say third leg like most people say to create babies, but no procreation before babies. That's their imagination. How do you contract yourself without too much contractions that become a birth in a different format that you didn't want to create monsters, but yet this is what we're doing on a constant. You're saying, oh, he got ADHD, all kind of deficiencies. Genetically, my mama got it. My daddy got it. So I'm going to just put it on my mom, my son and my child, you know. And why would you do that defect? And then maybe it's the lifestyle that you're eating. Because if we change the lifestyle, you'll see that Sankofa will be more important for you. You would say, okay, let me look at the history behind our parents and see that maybe if we did go back in time and we did change something, would it alter into the present? That's what they keep telling you in the movies, right? Don't they tell you that in the movies?
Yes, yes,
like, don't mess
yes.
up nothing in the past because it's going to multi-level change to whatever it is in the future. You ain't going to be the same when you get back. And now you're scared to do something. You're scared to touch the past now. It's like, oh, I don't know, because I wanted to keep it the same way. We were just talking about change. Nothing stays the same. So even if you did change it, right, and you come back, or let's say you didn't change it and you came back, you're thinking nothing changed when something actually did. You changed. The whole object is you. This whole conversation is about ourselves. This whole message is about me talking to myself. And then you talking to yourself that everybody else is listening, and now they're talking to themselves so they can figure this out too. Because we're basically a walking movie, moving body of all these body parts, all these guys in certain God departments and moving it for function. You know, your hand quicker than your feet quicker than your eyes and things like that. And you'd be like, if something dropped, you automatically can grab it because you have a motor skill that's telling you, grab that before it falls. Your brain would have said, oh, shoot, that thing is falling. You need to grab that. It'll be too late by the time it gets down to your hand and say, okay, grab it. You have instant messengers in you. How is it that we missed that? The only way we could have missed that, if your vessel was blocked up. You're walking, moving a pipe. You might as well call it a pipe. You're a walking, moving pipe. And everything that's running through you is like a funnel. So whatever you put in your body, it could be good for you, it could be bad for you, it could be an in-between. And now if you know it's an in-between, you'll see how it benefits. You see it's good, you see how it benefits. You see how it's bad, you'll definitely see how it benefits. And I'm running into a lot of us now who say, I'm feeling that constipation, even in my concentration, well, they run neck and neck. You mental, physically, and spiritually blocked. So now you got to actually work on those three things. I had blood pressure 16. That did not help me. Actually, it enhanced me to know about how to help me. So it wasn't the fact that I had to have high blood pressure at 16. It had to happen that I had to bump my head to wake up from this unconsciousness that we call conscience. And then that's not even conscience yet. Getting married, going into a relationship, having a child, then lose a child. In between that, having a bunch of weight on myself, the comfort zone, because, you know, when you start to lose somebody, you go through a discomfort to yourself, and we call it a comfort zone. That comfort zone is you're feeding your conscience, yet is the submissive stuff. Like now you just, oh, I'm so upset what just happened, that you get big and you bloat it. And now all of that is your depression sitting on your body. Sankofa is important because you can tap into reflexology and learn that all the scripts that was written on the walls are not just written. They're drawn on the walls and you can touch it and feel it. Not just you can see it and you got to think of what is being said. You can actually know what is being said by your thoughts. And you're getting 1,000 thoughts that's still going to be relevant to what's going on in today's time. That's why truth don't just pop up. They've always been there. That's the ever no longer changing thing that most people want to change because they feel like if I had control of that, now you went financially, but that's messing up your mental to your spiritual side. While you physically getting paid, you're going to physically mess something up, though, eventually, because your mental, your spiritual is having a problem. Look at Hollywood. A lot of these people running around, pulling their hair out, going to the asylum, you know, taking the COVID, like the back in the day when they took the measles shot, it's the same thing. You're going to the oppressed to get oppressed. So now how do you really know about Sankofa if that's, because is that Sankofa? Is that, brother, is that Sankofa?
Yes, sir.
It is?
No, no. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I missed everything you said in the last part. I'm so sorry. I'm distracted.
That's all right. Going to the oppressor to get a shot or going to do what we did in the past by the Migos.
Oh, no. No, sir. No.
Yeah, that's a quick reverse. Like, uh-oh,
you know what I mean?
Ah, that's not Sankofa.
Sorry.
That has nothing to do with Sankofa.
No, no, no.
Right.
Sorry.
That ain't got nothing to do with your blood type. That got nothing to do with your humanity, your nationality. There's so much that you could uncover with that alone to see how much we might be just as what we call it submissive to just do certain things, that even religion becomes that. You know, the mask is your religion. You know, most people put mask on. They can't hear because they're walking the room.
Right.
You talk right to them, and they got the mask on their face, so they automatically cut off another sense. They'll say, well, if I don't have to talk to anybody, I definitely don't have to hear anybody. You ever see somebody in the car, and they get lost, and they turn down the music?
Yeah. I've caught myself.
That's
doing
the same. Right. So.
Yeah.
When we're used to this mask that we put on, it becomes the religion. It becomes another way to seal off the revelation, the forehead. You know, just like Timothy 1 and 2, they're talking about women should not be able to speak or talk, which makes it irrelevant to how either we love our woman or she's domesticated while we're loving this woman. Now we got an issue. Now we do look confused as a man to her, to the woman, you know, and then to the father that has to look down at his son and says, this is your mother, but now this is your domesticated mother because she ain't smart enough to, intelligent enough to, or she can't do none of those things that, you know, because I learned this in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? So we got to look at what's relevant to ourselves. Is it relevant? Is this the all-knowing truth? You know what I mean? Or is this some kind of block or jack in a box that wants you to box your woman up later on, like how Jack became Jack the Kangaroo concept. Like, we became a lot of Jacks, Johns, Jimmys, all these about the hook. You know what I mean? When we really need to know our fish is spiritual. It's not just a hook with a fish on it that don't have a fin to itself. Fin meaning inning, if it was the actual terminology in a different language. So we should not finish ourselves like that. We're not made to be eaten for dinner. So we're not cannibalistic people. So a lot of the things we're doing in a cannibalistic level, domesticated level, how do we not know Sekhmet? How do we not know she was the guardian in front of that temple? And then there's Han Akin, the actual, what they can change and then say, oh, it's a sphinx. Just like a sphinx, you hear phoenix. And this is why the word phoenix is a bird that's what fire on, because the flame will represent just like the flesh, the raw energy. So having a cat with a body, a human body, right? Animal body and a human head is shown to us. But that's Sekhmet. That's not, I mean, that's the feminine connection to Sekhmet. That's not saying that we're going to go from one body part and switch it automatically to some other body part. When we talk about Sekhmet, we talking about the cat with nine lives. We talking about why the cat got nine lives in the concept. Why the cat gives birth like a woman. These things, and why did the breast milk end up being just like the cat giving out milk is the idea of how to get oxytocin back to the brain so you can now have telekinetic, you know, and you have sympathy and empathy. See, this was missing when the Caesar, Julius Caesar cut, that Caesar, Caesarian cut in your stomach. Since that cut been there, there's a lot of disc-including concepts like, you know, by the time the child comes out, the child now exists, right? However, the child that exists is now being cut off. Greetings. I say. We're cut off by the idea of the umbilical cord. When we know the umbilical cord can still be put there, the sac can still stay on. We can put ingredients on the sac so the baby can actually eat and cultivate itself. So now when it's self-independent, it has this disconnection from that. And now when you see that it's the point of saying, okay, stay with the child as majority as possible to where now the child, just like the umbilical cord, that's right, just like the umbilical cord, it could be still connected how you're connected to the child. That's why the child don't mind you being in the house You're just in a different room. But see, when you got these children that's acting up, and they're like, I don't want you to be leaving me in the room by myself. Well, look how you started out with the child. That's Sankofa. Are you really looking all the way into the past, into the origin, and say, okay, wait a minute. From this C-section I got cut, this Caesarean cut, this Caesar cut, this Julius Caesar cut, this is where the Borgia, this whole connection of, we see, when we had long hair and long beard, we got into this trust that everyone who had long hair and long beard was the same, all across the line. This is where the shepherd brought in and, you know, brought us, because it was basically like it is, what we call the covet being the cover. Being covered by the blood is coming through. That's right, Asher. And when we look at that, we're looking at how man basically had a feminine side to himself. And when that hair got cut off, the butchery and the barber and that Berber, like bird, right, from the bird that's flying to the beard, to the bear, and bear being how a bear is, a grizzly bear, to domesticate the bear, right? So now it's one of these domesticated animals that's doing destruction, and he got claws, and he's a wild beast, and now he could be like a wolverine, howling at the moon just like as if he could be a wolf. And so there's these personifications that we, as a group of people, anthropomorphic aspect, took on that enlightenment. And now a lot of us, peace, brother, a lot of us are not in tune with how all that been a part of, oh, we've been going in the wrong direction. We've been going in a right direction, a left direction, erection. You know, the erectile building is at its highest point when it's in the middle, not when it's on the left and not when it's on the right. The wisdom of protection at the moment. That's right. And when you think about bear, right, that's how you bear back into the truth of who you are. That's why the Big Dipper is not a Big Dipper. It's the Big Bear and the Little Bear. See, when they gave you names, they wanted to give it names to where you get dipped into something else. And now you say, okay, I'm going to use that word. But you didn't realize that was your origin word. And now you switch it up to being a modern-day word. And that's why a lot of us right now, when it comes down to our mother and our father, you know, just like the Goldilocks and blonde hair, blue eye, they're giving us a conversation. But that blonde hair, blue eye is not what we think it is. The blonde represents the fire, again, here we go, and the water. So we got as above, so below. And now with the three bears being the Trinity, how you see it from the baby point of view, right? From a man point of view and a woman's point of view. Now, they didn't tell you what the baby is it a girl, is a boy. That's in your decision. That's the imagination. That's what I said earlier about put your imagination before you so now you can see the imagination that's with you. If not, you never started with your imagination. You didn't start with your 9 months of birth. When you came here, you didn't start with the 3 months before you got here. So there's a missing point to how even in the 9 months of birth, you thought animal. You know, there's nothing wrong with think animal. It's just that you can be higher than, I'm going to say you could be at a different level because it don't matter if it's higher or lower as an animal. If the animal basically happens to be another dimension that we happen to see, just like the insects. Insects is a different form of an animal. The animal will eat. The mammal will eat the insect. However, can the insect eat the animal? Now you see there's a difference. If the insect eats the animal, what does that make the insect? See, this makes us know that there is a cross-referencing happening to where, look, they say everything get eaten, whether it be human to the insect, right? So now that's the connection to how we have a life cycle. Nothing is separated from nothing else. Now, of course, we ourselves have been dividing these things. So when, let's say, a child comes into existence and they've been here for the beginning of the year and they never saw an insect, now they see an insect and they say, oh, what is that, mommy, daddy? And they're like, oh, that's an insect. Oh, shoot, where is this thing coming from? That's going to spook the child. But if we taught our child about the scarab beetle, about the fly, and all of these things that we already seen because we had different names for it, then the child will not be afraid of that because the child is already familiar with the imagination that's about to come before them. That's why it's important to teach our children. That's why it's important to have a facilitation towards our child. That's why it's important to, at least if you can't do it, get to centers that does. That way you won't say, oh, well, something wrong with my child. Well, something wrong with you because you created that. Now, it's you that's blaming still outside versus inside. We have to deal with our problems, yes. However, we got to deal from an inside point of view in order to even correct anything on the outside. That's why it's important to get, like, if you don't have any circles, start getting around them. If you don't have any particular circles, then start creating those type of circles. See, the C-section was to cut you away from your connection of Sankofa. But yet, if you realize, even in Sankofa, we found circles that if brothers had to get around, heal each other, let's do that. If sisters had to get around, heal each other, let's do that. If we have babies in the room, let's heal these babies. If we got older people that need some help for the moment, let's go, let's go, let's do this. Because this is what the church really was. When you thought about this St. Nicholas who came out and started touching people and healing people, he put his hands on people that were sick, right? And they became healed. Now, I don't know how far did it get switched up, yet it's really tainted to this Crumpus dude or what's the other, Grinch. You know what I mean? It's connected to these disconnections of now how do we look at the so-called people who was coming around and doing like the three wise men to now be this perverted one man who's got this red and white hat on his head and got some boots on and slay his deers, and he came in on a donkey. So how'd he get deers? I don't know. And he got a sleigh and he got a bag full of goodies. And now he got little children sitting on his lap so that he can bargain with whatever he got in the bag for them. This is what we call a legba and don't know it. But someone will take that, change it up, taint it up, and now make it like it's perverted, and yet we go along with it as a sheep. Now, cheap as a sheep, as in thrills. This is what we're doing with our children. Oh, let them have the imagination. They're good at giving them the imagination. Let's just let them run with it. How long are you going to let that keep happening without putting Sankofa back in front? When I had my child in front of me the whole time, when I'm like 24/7, you can ask them. Ask them, did I give you cartoons on Saturday? Yes, I did. I was not that mean. However, we went over our culture before we even touched any cartoons. I put in some kind of wisdom, some kind of knowledge, some kind of let's go into this so we're going to get this root right, right? So after we were getting done, yeah. He was like, Daddy, can we watch cartoons after? Yes, we can watch cartoons after this first.
Yeah.
This first. This is what you're going to eat first. I did that all the way till he was six, right? And then he goes to Georgia. And then he might have a little rebellion because he don't know his dad, like how the mama goes and says, hey, he ain't like how you think he is. And then he gets this in his own analogy. Then he gets older. You know, as they get older, that's why they go have to have Sankofa. Because by the time he gets 13, he's smelling, you know, how most people say, you smelling your own piss. He didn't have to do that. I had a brother ask him, you know, you've been with somebody? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, snap, you over here, like, girlfriend, boyfriend thing. And then he was like, well, where is she? And stuff like that. And he was like, well, she wasn't open enough towards me. She wasn't open up enough. So I was like, open up enough? Who says that at 13? You know what I mean? So it wasn't about sex for him. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was about whole, his brother, intellectual. I didn't spit out a genius.
13.
Yeah, at 13. I'm like, bro, what? And I'm like, I'm glad I didn't even have to ask that question. I'm just the fly in the room that happens to hear it. So I'm like, yo, he's like my past in the present. Yeah, he's a better present in the present. So I'm like, yo, this is a present. Like, wow.
But
like, we got that much ability. Go ahead.
So what I'm understanding is that from the seeds you planted and from the Sankofa within him, he had tapped back into that. Is that, am I following you correctly?
Yeah.
Okay.
He has the drum, right? He has the copper skills. All I got to do is get around him and show him some more. If he's really even interested, for real, for real. I'm not going to push it on my son to do what dad does. You know what I mean? That was what our issues end up being on a lot of us, that where it was so pushed so hard that we went opposite direction. We did not become the extra farmer in the room. We did not become the carpenter and all the other things that, you know, dad wanted us to be, because we probably wanted to be an artist type being. We wanted to do something different, and yet there was no respect for that, or there was no encouragement for that. And I'm not even going to blame him for that, for real, for real. Society has a part of it. Even ourselves have a part of it. Everybody's included. We can't just exclude things and start to say, oh, this is how it all happened. No, we all had a share in it. So if it came down to ignorance, there was a lot of ignorance scattered all around to where we'd be like, oh, I had epiphany now. This is where I see that didn't work. Now is your time to actually fix these things, you know? And if you got time, look at those children that's still around you. Because I know you're saying it as much as I'm saying it. I don't want to be around these children because da-da-da-da. Well, what if this child get into an adult age? Now what? What if this child come around with a gun? I've had that. I've had a child grow up and had a gun. And now they over here gangbanging. So realize what kind of impact you, all you out here, have on children. That you can still give them the enlightenment that they've been saying, oh, you know, the young people, we don't get along with them, and old people don't get along. Why keep doing it? Make the bridge. We've been talking about bridges all day, every day. So why not you doing it? You know what I mean? Oh, somebody need to do something. How about you need to do something? Go on out there and do it. Don't just keep talking about it. Do it. Make it a point of effort. Like, and then while you're doing it, don't forget to at least take a reflection. Now, I know most people say, we don't want to take pictures. Well, guess what? Everything is being put out here now. So if you don't put it out there, no one sees you doing these things. And so now you will have vanity and say, well, no one sees me when I'm doing this. Well, I'm just saying this. If I'm a coppersmith, which I am, I can make the copper. However, it don't get sold until I start showing people I did this. And then on top of that, I got to give them some information. I got to even do a song and dance just so you could buy the copper. Not because I'm doing the song and dance, you'll buy the copper. It's because you see the effort that we put into things that is not just, oh, no longer am I a client. I'm actually the president of this thing. You know what I mean? Like, you got to make it all-knowing, you got to make it your lifestyle. Once you make it your lifestyle, this stuff that we talk about that's hard becomes very easy. All you got to do, tap into Sankofa. Learn that don't laugh at those people that's wearing clothes that's not yours. Even though it is yours, you just didn't take no attain towards it. Don't laugh at someone that happens to be into their culture more than yourself when, you know, you think less of it. Now, of course, there are people that's walking around right now rocking your culture, and they ain't even supposed to be rocking your culture. So that might be a little, you might feel a little, you know, like, hey, who they think they are rocking? Now, I've seen this happen. I mean, I've seen cats playing drums that they would sound watered down. However, we weren't doing it, and there was at least a good 9 of us out there to say, dang, well, they got drums. I'm the only one that had a drum. So it would have been like, but I'm not going to go out there and be like, hey, I'm going to go against them. What? No. And I'm not going to join them either. Nope. Because let them go and do what they do. This world lives with coexist. So that means we don't have to actually do what everybody is doing. We already have our own function. We just got to, just like how they said, if you was holding this up this whole time and it feels heavy and you don't have nobody else to help you out, you better let it go. Don't hold on to that. Don't hold on to that. That ain't going to help you too long. Because after a while, your body going to, you know, break down on you. This is why you got to have a mental, physical, and a spiritual enhancement to yourself. What I mean by that, when your mental, your physical, and your spiritual, those 3 out of the 8 hours that you're doing, mentally, physically, and spiritually, you got to have a meltdown for them. You can't just keep doing that every day. Even for your child coming in the building, hold on, slow down, wait. Nope. Take your shoes off. All right. Come on over here. Breathe. Relax. You good? Okay. Get some water. Here's some water. Drink. Let's get some meditation on. Meditation? What is that? Let's turn on some music, some water, elements, fire, whatever element you want to have. Earth even. You got earth sounds out there. Even have sun vibration. Sun has a sound. So if you want to get into some sound, peace, brother. Respect. If you want to get into some sound, put it on. And then let them sit. Let them relax. If you got a great window where the sunlight's still kicking in, have them sit right there. Go and get that energy. Relax. we're going to calm down before we get to have even the first comment. Guess what happened? Whoa, that's a lot. So let's just start you in the beginning where you just relax, you calm, you collective, and now you can have the conversation. And you might not even forget what you were saying. So that's why this purpose of what we're doing, Sankofa, going back, not to forget, just so you can always have that remembrance. The remembrance is just like my sister, she actually does it, Chandra Pittman, every year. I just so happened to miss this past time frame because, you know, moving around fast. Yet Sankofa, we do here out Buckrow Beach. You got time. Check it out. Just keep your mind, you know, on that focus and say, okay, I'm going to wear all white, right? And I'm going to go out. Everybody bring people, as much people as you want. You know, bring some fruit, bring some flowers. Basically, the flowers will help because basically what we do is we go there, we join a little bit. That some people want to, got some views they want to speak of. Might be the past time frame, the present time frame, the near future time frame. We all there. So anyway, we get there, we're drumming, vibration is up, and then we pass the flowers into the water as, you know, giving off our homage towards Yamaya, the ancestors. So still connected to Abasla, Alamandore. We basically are all learning our different ways that we got tainted by in the past that now we have to now get the dent out of ourselves because we need to be confident if we're going to have a dent in us in the first place. And we've been con on a lot of things. So now to get out of those cons and those Shaka Khan and Genghis Khan and, you know, how do we see the Zulu connection of Shaka and Zulu, you know what I mean, and the Ashanti tribe and Zinga and, you know, how do we go further, Queen Tai, who's Cleopatra and ain't just one, you know what I mean, like Nefertiti. How do you see those things? Going into that will help you tap in. And once you know that, now your tuning fork will be a proper tune to how you give it to your children. Why would your children, you know, because if our child is feeble-minded, it's only because we felt feeble-minded and we passed that tradition on to our child. And there's no reason why we feel like, okay, why that did everything I needed to do. No, you are still living. Your shadow still casts on the ground like mine. So if we got shadows, we're still casting out shadows too. So now how do we cast out shadows that are helpful, not hurtful? And that means going into your past, correcting some things that might have ignored it. Now, of course, I might have ignored a couple of things myself. So I got to say, son, look, come here. Let me talk to you. Some things I didn't realize I was doing, I see you now repeating. I mean, you don't even know that was what I was doing. So now to end those problems, those karmic debts, you have to bring it up. You have to talk about it. You have to sit in front of the campfire and speak on those things, things that might have hurt you, that you just held back, those blockages that's in the body. That's Sankofa, being able to speak of the Ma'afa or why you was hurt. So now you can go to Ma'at. How do you balance it? And then when Ma'ati comes in, it shows you how to balance in itself is the Dharma. Like, you're going to get rewards for that. Your children can now give you a hug and say, thank you for having a conversation with me. Like I had a sister say that her children, they can smoke in front of her because at one point she was like how her mom was. She was going to say, no, you can't smoke. But then she thought about it. If I keep doing that to my child, then my child's going to run out and be in the streets. So what do you want? You want your child to be out in the streets or you actually want your child to be at home? And so if you know how to keep your child at home, that would be like not to lock them in those, you know, not lock them up because we done seen, I've seen some outcomes to that. You know, they take you to court for them kind of things. That's neglect, abuse, you know, dysfunction. You don't want to go there. So what I'm saying is you want your door to be open, like how they say the hut was. However, you know, you got options, revolving doors. Son, if you walk out this door, I'm not going to say I'm going to lock you out. It's just that you're going to have to now know how it is to be an adult when you go out that door. So when we get to that level, it's basically saying, are we really in tune with how to use our wise side of ourselves? Not just, oh, I got knowledge. You want to be wise. Like, is what you're giving your child enough for that child to pass it on to the children that's next to him? How is he demonstrating those issues? Because he's going to have friends. He's going to have sisters as friends. He's going to have men as brothers as friends. And he's going to have some young brothers that's going to be acting like boys. That's the Pinocchio thing. How much did they cut off their feet or burnt their feet like Pinocchio did when he killed off the Jimmy in the story. And when they killed Jimmy in the story, I was like, wait a minute, Pinocchio killed Jimmy? Yo, this is some weird stuff. Like, we don't see that in cartoons or fables. They show us killing the ancestors and making that the demoralized side, and we okay with it. So that's how we now, at this point, domesticate our women, domesticate our conversation, domesticate even my brethren. Like, he's supposed to be my brethren, but I call him my nigga. I don't need to call you my nigga. If I'm going to call you anything, I'm going to call you my nagus or my nagas. I'm not going to bring up stuff that's of this modern day slavery mentality, prisoners of war ways. If anything, I need to encourage myself to find out how can I properly help you out whenever I'm around you. Because if I feel like I'm causing you dharma, it's only because of my karma. And I don't want nothing bigger than me over me walking with you and you saying that's over me. How does that work? That's where these spells come from. So we got to actually tap into what is that you can say, okay, there's my electric rod. How do I ground myself? How do I make magnetism to myself? Go by this. Go to your last name, right? Look up your last name and find out the origin of whatever that is on it. And then not only that, go here. Go on into your family crest. Look in there and see what animal is your totem. Go in there. You got ways to encourage your higher power self. Now, if you walk around this earth doing everything that everybody else is doing, that's you already wasting time. You need to start doing some stuff that you should be doing. You, yourself personally. So that way you know personally how you are yourself. Then you can start working with other people that's around you. You got to get this knowledge first in order before it become wisdom. You can't pass it around until you got it, you know, fully developed in yourself. And I ain't saying fully, because the encouragement, what we call Jegna, is one who starts, at least willing to start, right, and become that elephant in the room, right? The one that says, okay, if I got to be the loyal one in the room, I'll be loyal. And at the same time, I'll be also the Marxist, the example, because if you kill me, everybody sees you killing me right in front. So now this is that Jesus that everybody wanted to be. This is the Ganesh or Ganesha that
you
is speaker, the elephant head.
You just described
what you say,
me
brother?
In my bloodline. I
say
said,
it again.
You just described me. I said, you just described me as it is to my bloodline.
There you go. And we got to be the calling. Somebody's the wish doctor in the family. They didn't want to call it claims. They didn't want to say, oh, you the intelligent one with the herbs. It had to finally come down to you, because I'm still going to the hospital, you know, and I'm dealing with the hospitalers. And that's not Sankofa. So if you know what Sankofa is, it's to tap into your past, not someone else's, that's not from you, not your origin at all. And just like, oh, I've just been learning all y'all and giving y'all these pills that haven't been working for generations. Because they're waiting on your body parts. This is just obvious. We need to stop going to the slaughterhouse and not creating more slaughter for each other. Once we do that, we can get into Sankofa real easy, real easy. It's like a no-brainer. You get everything you want in Sankofa because it's there. That's your this is your rites of passage. And the more you do that, the more you're tapped in. The more you have to, now don't have to feel like, oh, I'm so worried about this and I'm worried. Then the bird, do you see the birds worrying? What about the squirrels? And let me ask you this. Is there birds over there where you at?
It is. They're right outside of my patio. They live there.
Okay, because I'm wondering, like, where is this down south at? You know, they say they're supposed to be, when it gets cold in the winter, the birds fly south. Am I in the south?
We're going to get on those
birds.
Because the
birds still here. And it's cold. It'd be cold. It'd be cold some days. And I still be hearing birds. They be in the middle of the night, end of the day. I'm like, yo, these birds are out all the time. This is not even a time frame. They make it up wherever they want. So to me, I'm seeing it as an illusion on how much most people say the day and the night and the night and the day. It's like we're going according to what the sun gives us, the light gives us, the darkness gives us, and how these birds are, you know, connected. And how I saw birds on the freaking Sentara Hospital. A bunch of them moving from one end to the other. Now, why were they doing that? We know people pass away. So are birds carriers of the energy?
They were recharging.
And then it went right into the parking lot and, like, congregated. They didn't go back in the trees and they congregated. And then they fly off. I mean, they were doing this in patterns. It's deep, bro. I don't even know how to say anything else. I'm going to just leave it off on that, because, I mean, we can talk about Sankofa all day. We are there.
Okay.
We are already there. Rites of passage, bro. Rites of passage. We all need it.
You know, I think it's beautiful. You know, as you were speaking, you know, I just thought, you know what I'm saying, who are you? You know, who are you? Who is the beautiful, you know? And I find when it comes to Sankofa, what I'm finding is that it's getting back to the root of who you are, tapping into those depths within your soul, you know what I mean? And bringing that back
right.
forth, bringing that back, bringing that forth, you know? So, man, I just think that it's a creative journey, I feel. And I feel that in expression, you know, that to be like your authentic self at the core, like your highest vibration, is such a beautiful experience, you guys. So I actually was quiet the whole broadcast, eternal, because I was just learning and listening, you know what I mean? Because I knew kind of like an introductory of Sankofa, but I didn't know the depth of it. So I learned something today myself, so gratitude.
Well, no problem, bro. I mean, you watch the movie, you better get more in depth to it. We did a modeling synopsis of it. I started it out. Then a brother, Cam Kelly, he came out, and he did this thing, the day program. And it was ironic because I didn't see any drumming out 35th Street, because the elders, they basically went into the park and started drumming. And that's how I got into it, by being in the park and drumming, which I actually got into it because the drum ended up being one of those presents under the gift, under the tree. And in reverse, I'm over here giving an exchange for a wedding ring. So we were exchanging the wedding ring, and here I'm exchanging. She was exchanging my culture for the wedding ring. So I was like, yo, this is deep. Even though we separated, get back on the drum, like, oh, 204, oh, soaking old pitiful me, you know. And then I run into the elders who drumming, and I see them drumming. And say, oh, somebody drumming. So I get over there, I see the attraction. So that became my leadway to heal myself. Then it was from me being separated, got my drum, my son with me, but I don't sound good. So now I'm doubting myself. I don't like my sound. I hear one beat that I'm playing all the time, you know. And then I end up getting this tree trunk that the elder said. He said, get on the tree trunk, just keep patting, 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 going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I did that. So I didn't know this was like a connection to the tiger palm. Didn't know this was a martial art move. None of these things. It wasn't until I started running to these experts out here in Norfolk that now I'm starting learning through other seafoods this and that. I'm not even going to explain because it would be a long story. It just ended up like I'm picking up stuff and I didn't even know I was picking up. And I was like, yo, I'm into martial arts. I've been watching martial arts since I was a child. So the Buddha side started kicking in more that I realized I'm on the same street my mom did Buddha. Like she went up the steps, and I remember two lions up there with these balls in their hands, and she was going up these steps, and I remember taking shoes off and sitting down in front of Gohansen and doing the chant, Nam Myoho Renge Kyo. I'm to this day now picked that up. So it's like the things we look at from Sankofa is Sambo Judasia. My dad's name is Sam. He did not like the word Sambo. So I had to study this and go beyond what he had, you know, looked at as a negative and find a positive out of it. So needless to say, he still don't like this word to this day. And still I could, like, talk about Buddha, yet he don't know Sambo Judasia. So he's like, wow, this is amazing. You are picking up pieces of your past that's even of your parents' past and not knowing how much is in your present. So that's what makes me feel like, okay, that was the effort. Keep the drum going. So needless to say, I get what Positive Vibes, a place where I first started learning anything about culture. And yet this was not the only place. You know, we got Self-Book Improvement Store that became House of Consciousness. Then it crossed over on the other side of the street. Then at the same time it was crossing over, Conscious Planet was being rebuilt. Was being built on Granby Street. So we had 35th Street and Granby. 35th represents 8, right? 3 and 5, right? 3 and 5, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. 3 and 5, right? 3 and 5. Okay, she didn't hear me. All right, so, and then Granby Street. Granby was, I started doing a rainbow. I did it on Freemason. Bro, Freemason and Granby. I don't know how that happened, but that's where I started at. Drumming right there, Freemason and Granby. From that side to 2718 Granby Street. 2718, bro. That's two nines right there. 27, right? At 27, you change. At 18, you change, right? And that was what was going on in my life. So the numbers are not only a part of what's going on in your life. It's a message that's talking to you in your life as well. And I was looking at nines. What's all these nines about? My mother is a Sagittarius. My grandmother is a Sagittarius. My grandma on my dad's side is a Sagittarius. That's my mom. So I got 3 Sagittariuses. And then I'm a North Node Sagittarius. There's a lot about this right here, this time frame, the tough love, the Jupiter energy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like Saturn in Saturnalia. My dad is a Capricorn. So that Capricorn, Capricornius, how do you learn from the water to the mountain? Because it came on land, yet we got to see the Capricornius side. It had hooves on one side and a fishtail on the other. So I was like, oh, no wonder I'm a Pisces. All this is supposed to make sense to me, as Mary is really a Sagittarius, not a Virgo. But Virgo being in the belly, right? Mm-hmm. September, I will fall in autumn. And then coming out of the manger, what they call a Beth, being the house of Bethel. The house of Bethel. My mother, my grandma, my aunt name is Bethel. How in the world? Matthew is my grandma's name. Lewis is my father's name, or my grandma's name. On one side, Matthews, Lewis, both. Lewis, Matthews is in the Bible. Lewis is a Wales name, that basically of an island in Scotland. So it's like there's so much of how much do you know your origin that where you can tap in. I came from Frankfurt, Germany. I'm talking about mixed up. We all got some stuff that's about us that expresses the expansion of our culture. Not to say that you're a mutt. See, when people do that, that's to domesticate your culture so that you would think little or less or nothing to your culture. That's why most of us say, oh, I'm Black Asian, or I'm this, or I'm that. I'm Puerto Rican, half white. So it's like you don't want to express your nationality of who you are, the origins of what you are, and then how does that make it a nomenclature to who you are? You are a substance, right? But you're also connected by the objective of yourself. That's what makes you spiritual. You're not just spiritual. You're a soul connector. Have your soul connect back to yourself so much that you'll soul provide yourself any point. You know what I mean by that? You there, bro?
Yes, I'm here.
You know what I mean by soul provide yourself? Soul provide yourself.
I don't.
You know what I mean by that?
I don't.
It's like you're throwing little instant messages out to the universe and they soul provide you.
Mm.
So much that you don't have to look for it because you already sent it out.
Mm-hmm.
This is what these birds are there for. They're carriers of the light for us. So remember when you said recharging? Yes, they are recharging.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the rainbow that's in your house when you got the water next to the window and you see the rainbow in your room. Just like
mm-hmm.
when you have a,
I'll create it.
Water hose. And, yeah, just like the water
yeah.
hose you're splashing
yeah.
on the grass. And you still
mm-hmm.
see the rainbow all over the place. Everywhere you spray the water, you see the rainbow. You are in an aura of yourself. So until you start saying, okay, you know what? I'm going to stop running around here acting like a fool with my head cut off. I'm going to just sit down, chill, and send out them aqua messages like Aquaman did. You remember Aquaman, don't you?
I do, yeah.
I'm talking about the old school joint. Like, he was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. He'll put his hand on his head. He'd be like, he'll close his eyes. I was like, he closes his eyes and everything. He'll close his eyes. And he'll like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then all of a sudden, these ovals will come out of his head in the center, bro. Right here into his pineal gland. It opens up. It just starts expanding like a jellyfish in the water and coming all around. He might call birds from the sky, fish, whales, anything. Because this is what we do. You know plants do that, right?
Mm-hmm. I do.
So we do it too. When your mama knows when you're, you know, something wrong with you, first thing you do is, your mom know. She's going to come and help you. She's going to be like, look, something wrong with my baby. Excuse me, out of the way. Then you might be like, can you help me with this? As soon as you hear, excuse me. Oh, wait, my baby calling. And you're like, whoa, how do you even hear that? Shoot, I got my ESP kicking in. And then the baby don't even cry. And she did it before the baby even cried. I thought I heard my baby crying. I'm like, how'd you pick that up? Baby ain't even say a thing. But this is what ESP does for us. We have that connection that we're saying is disconnected from us, like this air that we call space, like this ether that we call time. And the more you get more in tune with it, the more it'll show you how it's a benefit, how you're a soul providing yourself. That's how you start to become so self-proficient. And we didn't know how to do that at first because we was a baby. But since I disconnected you from everything from the baby start, it's basically my fault until I showed you how you're old enough to do that on your own. That's why rites of passage is very, very, I'm going to say it again, very, very, one more time, very, very important to pass it on to the next generation. Without that. Absolutely.
I am so sorry. Rite of passage is very, very, very key, very important. Can you give a suggestion if someone, we do have a broadcast on the rite of passage, but if someone wanted to understand more deeper on the rite of passage, what would be a good avenue for them to begin to bring to that study?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you want to go for it from a harmonic value. You know, or you want to learn it from the study of. You know, because it's so many variances to go through to start. I mean, me, because I like music, the musically side of it helped me get into that format. Like, picking up an instrument helped me now expand the side of saying, okay, well, I don't know anything. I still don't know anything about notes. Like, somebody got to come around here and help me with how to read this stuff, because I don't know how to read it on a paper. I know how to play it because I'm hearing it. I mean, that's my sound. It's just that once stuff started getting put on in a book, a lot of us lost interest. We ran into the people who was actually doing it versus someone who wrote it down. So now, if there's something in Sankofa would be that attracts your child, look at that and rear that part. Like my dad, he was like saying, oh, man, you good at that Etch-A-Sketch. He just didn't rear that part. And I was like, dang, I didn't go any further with it. So I was still getting into trouble, even though when I got into trouble, I went back to drawing again after I got, you know, once I'm into trouble, I'm in the room, now I'm drawing again. However, if it was geared in the positive reinforcement, it would have had me draw into, like, he could have brought some older stuff to me and he was like, challenge me, you know what I mean? And since that wasn't a challenge, I found my challenge in something else. And that's what's more important. Like, look at what's challenging the child to want to learn this, or what's the drive in it? Like, does the child like stones? And then maybe can get some more familiar. You got to rear them. Rear whatever they're interested in. Like, if they like insects, start looking, okay, let's get you some insect books. Or if they like stones, let's get you a couple stones so you can start researching them, you know? Anything that's going to get them to start getting a motor running, you know what I mean? Like, if they got a little net and they say, oh, I love catching bugs. You're like, all right, well, we're going to put this is a little bug catcher box that I got for you. You're going to put it in there so you can get more information. Now, mind you, if the bug dies, that's on you. So now you got to give them life and death, you know, conversation. It's all about what Sankofa really does for us. Is it giving us life? Is it giving us death? And how far in the past did it do that anyway? Because if you're a person that's constantly giving death back to life, do you really want to be doing that? I mean, honestly, really? I mean, there's other positions, please. Like, I don't know, gardening, something, easier things and tasks than just doing that. Like, that, to be honest, those who are into it now who not realize that they say, oh, I want to be a soldier when I grow up, they don't realize the people that they shot or the people that they misfired and hit somebody else. So there is the oppositions that if we are going to show them, right, and you say, oh, you want to be a nurse, show them the whole thing about that drink, not all at once. Because, you know, it's going to overpower them. But it's just showing them that this is an all-around thing. There's different types of nurses. They ain't just any old nurse. You're just picking a general nurse aspect. when they get to see the ins and outs of it, then they'll have a better, more critical way of thinking to their decision. That way, the rites of passage is given to them versus they were blindsided. The industrial world worked for them, and they didn't see how to become industrious in themselves. Because if you can give them the fish, they're going to eat. But if you're giving them the fish and they constantly give them the fish, they're going to be eating that fish and all the other fishes that you brought in. But if you gave them the fishing rod and showed them how to fish, they ain't got to come back to you and ask you about, while I'm talking about fish, I'm a fish myself, so we ain't going to talk about that anymore. We're going to talk about how to catch a good way of putting an analogy in yourself, not just the fish. Fish meaning spiritual. So how do you catch your spiritual side to another being that you can say, okay, I could be that positive or that aspect of influence for them, that once they see the in and outs of it, that not to say they have to follow me, they have now another decision that they can do versus they just stuck with nothing to do. And that's what we call rites of passage. You start to show them you got more choices than what you basically been living. You're better at what you're doing. You just got to know how you can get better at it. Now, of course, people in the beginning, they'll say, oh, I don't have to learn anymore because I already learned that. And that's where we could say, okay, now, I'm glad you said that. This is where we're going to find out how good you are, and we're going to test that. We're going to put it to the test. Not saying that it's a real test, because, you know, most people, they fail automatically because they hear the word test. So now you just got to give it to them a friendly way of examination. This is an examination for yourself to get. And really, this is what I'm really calling it, is the initiation. Because most people get judged by these things. And it's really you're initiating yourself. You're seeing if you pass. You know, like Wonder Woman. She had to go through all these courses and find out she cheated in order to, you know, to get to win. And then she realized the woman knocked her down and said, no, you're not going to win that way. And they said, I'm not going to let you go past the finish line and have you think you won that way. And so she's like, dang, that's kind of rude, but it was real. She had to wake up to some reality of saying, work on your initiation. Don't work on always winning. Because if you ain't working on winning, you just think about the competition and not yourself.
There it is. All right, you guys. We are going to go ahead and end on that note. Thank you. We appreciate you guys always listening to us on Enhancing Awareness Radio. The rest of the broadcast, they may be back next year, but please continue to listen to us guys every weekend at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central. And also guys, do your own research, you know, tap into the Sankofa of you guys. One thing I would say, you know, just from personal, I apologize about the bell, you guys. But one personal thing that I would say in coming into the Sankofa yourself, one thing that I'm experiencing is, you know, when you are being yourself unapologetically, and, you know, just let's just say the witch doctors in your line of your family, you know, some of them may have, you know, didn't want to take the assignment, you know what I mean? Or, you know, we come from an era where a lot of the stuff was suppressed, so it was kind of harder for you to be yourself, you know, so a lot of that had got lost and a lot of that has gotten suppressed, you know what I mean? So if you're coming, you know, through that, you know, I just want to encourage you guys that now is a great space and energy for you to be yourself and for you to tap into those deeper aspects of yourself, you know. I found myself tapping into my lineage, you know what I'm saying, as far as my ancestors are concerned. You know, I'm doing shit that I didn't even know I could do, you know. And I'm like, okay, where is this coming from, you know. And I know that I'm tapping into something deeper, you know what I'm saying. So I say that if you're experiencing that, guys, you know, that could be your Sankofa, you know. Just, you know, roll with it, like ride with that, guys. It's, again, it is such a beautiful experience. So I'm just taking it all in. All right. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Again, we appreciate you for always coming, you know, and joining us every weekend. We hope you learned something today. And, yeah, we will see you definitely next weekend. All right, Eternals.
thank you, Eternal, for breaking that down and explaining. I have a deeper understanding of what Sankofa, and I'm also going to go back and look at the movie. You know, it's like when you go back to the same thing, like I saw the movie kind of a few years ago, and I wasn't at the level that I'm at now, but I'm going to go back and watch Sankofa again, and I bet you I have a deeper meaning and understanding. I don't even understand, but I'm going to have a deeper understanding, you know, into what Sankofa means for me, right? So thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, Eternal, you can go ahead and take us out. All right, he may have went. He may have went off.
Go ahead. No, we as a people, we do have to look at Sankofa. What is Sankofa? How is Sankofa helpful for us? And because Sankofa expresses like a beginning state, there's still more to it in this beginning state. What is the beginning state of everything? You know, consciousness. How is it that if we don't study, like I said, Ma'afa, the point of birth being changed by Margaret Singer, the Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood, whatever you call it, the whole thing of taking the child and using it for experiences, this is why hospitalers were created. So we have to know that if you're like abandoning your child in any way, whether it's the physical body to a spiritual body and a mental body, this abandonment starts from the neglect of why they call us custodians in the first place. We're not custodians. We are the creators that help create. And so through creation, our children are to become the next creation to become. And if you know that, you know how to start your Sankofa. You know how that you will want to see your children and how your children will live long past their children in the way that their spirit is there. Not just the body physically. Our ways of thinking, our ways of knowledge, our way of upbringing, our children, our chivalry, our ways of nobility, the regal side that we call it, regal in our family, our real rich in our blood love line, because we're going to call it a love line, not just bloodline. It's a love that you have for this line of love that you was even passing it off to people that didn't even belong in your blood section. So this is why we have to be in tune with this, be more, not to say that you're not going to be willing to do that, because I know some of us still are. We're a part of the humanity. We created humanity. So knowing that what Sankofa does for us, it helps us say that now I can independently love myself, because at first I didn't know who I was. I was just laughing and being ignorant like a hyena to everything in a domestic way. It's only until you get away from the pack of wolves will you know who's the wolf. And now, when you come out of that sheep clothing, will you always follow the lamb as Mary? You know, when Mary, everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was supposed to follow? Because really, it's supposed to be about a ram. And it's supposed to be about who's a lion in themselves. So know your heart. Don't just be lying to yourself. Ashe. Ashe. Ooh, respect.
I'm an orange moon. I'm an orange moon, reflecting the light of Yes.